our next speaker, Alexis Uliac and Paul Valera from Thales, to come to the podium for the final presentation of the day, which is the state of the art of trusted virtual platforms.
Parole.
Bonsoir. Je vous remercie d'être venu.
Good evening, and thank you for coming out this evening to this presentation of trusted platform module technology and how it can be used in virtualization and cloud computing. Firstly, a word about me, Alex Uliac. I'm going to be presenting this with my colleague Paul here from Thales, Paul Varela. We're contributors to the Trusted Computing Group, which is responsible for specifications for TPM technology. And Eleanor Ardi, our other colleague, has not been able to be with us today, but she also contributed to this research. So firstly, what is TPM? Technology that is we all use pretty much on a daily basis, unawares, a security component which is included in most computers and has been for over 10 years now, supporting a number of quite common features. For example, if you use BitLocker to encrypt your disk in Windows, running Windows 10, then your files are protected by a TPM component. Similarly, if you use Boot's Secure Boot, Measure Boot, then a TPM will also be used for this feature. This component is also used or may be used as a kind of integrated smart card in IT hardware to store certificates for authentication on a VPN, web services, banking services, for example. This technology has is also used in DRM and can check that multimedia content protected by copyright can only be used on authorized platforms.
Alors, le TPM, concrètement, qu'est-ce que c'est?
So practically, TPM is a crypto coprocessor, physical component integrated into hardware. It's rather like a safe, performing a number of security functions such as confidentiality, integrity, and authentication. And this safe includes encryption, symmetrical and asymmetrical encryption keys, certificates, random number generator for encryption keys, hash calculations. And the problem now is where this safe should be located. Until now, this TPM has been integrated in computer hardware, so I am a security professional. I have a TPM in my computer, in my highly protected house with shielded doors and a guard dog and barbed wire, and so I'm pretty sure that my TPM is physically secure. The problem is that now this safe may be anywhere in the world, thanks to cloud computing. I don't know where it is. I don't know who has the keys. I don't know how it's made. I don't know how it's secured. And in fact, I don't really know much at all. And the aim of this presentation is to show how we can ensure that this safe remains secure in a cloud computing environment, and look at this through four aspects. Firstly, architecture, how this type of component can be implemented in a virtual environment, the specific challenges in implementing a virtual TPM, the software solutions, off-the-shelf solutions that exist, and what standards initiatives have been implemented with regard to this technology. Firstly, architecture. So to ensure the chain of trust throughout the system. We use a TPM. The challenge, well, firstly, why don't we use a physical TPM for a virtualized system? There are two reasons why we don't. The first is that the TPM system can only be linked with a single system and with a single user. The second constraint relates to its design. This component has deliberately been designed to have limits in terms of computing power, input, output, and storage. You can only store a certain number of keys for a single operating system, a limited number of registers for the secure boot. So how can we scale that up to virtualization? We've introduced the idea of virtual TPM, which allows the same interfaces as a physical system for a virtual system. My virtual system will be associated with a virtual TPM, which in turn will be linked to a physical TPM. And so the idea is that we have a chain of trust from the physical TPM through to my virtualized system via the virtual TPM. And on the right, you can see a more detailed graph of virtualized system architecture using VTPM. There's the hypervisor, VMM, and what you need to look at in this architecture is that each virtual machine will have its own VTPM for its dedicated virtualization environment. This is so that if a hacker compromises my virtual machine, I don't want them to be able to access secrets in the machine protected by the virtual TPM. So to make sure they can't escape the virtual environment, which is why each has a VTPM. Then challenges. First, the two main challenges. The first relates to hypervisors and the second to migration. We would agree, I think, that in virtualization, hypervisor is the cornerstone of security. If I cannot ensure security of my hypervisor, well, there's, as we saw in the previous presentation, I cannot really provide security in my virtualized system. And the same applies to virtual TPM implementation. The software in the hypervisor is there. If this is not done properly, I could have a malicious administrator who could get the encryption keys in the VTPM and then use those to unencrypt the VPM. And that could apply to several cases. For example, if they could recover encryption keys from NVRAM. In a physical TPM, the NVRAM is the volatile aspect of the component, so my encryption keys are protected by this hardware, so I'm not too worried. But in a virtual TPM, this NVRAM may be a file stored on the physical storage system of the hypervisor. So an administrator who's gone bad could access this file, recover the encryption keys, and then decode the virtual machine. I could also make a snapshot of the virtual machine. The memory print of the TPM will be copied onto my hypervisor storage system, and if my implementation is not good, I will have NVRAM encryption keys that could be there in clear text and used again by a hacker to compromise data. The second challenge is migration. There are two different scenarios. The first scenario, well, in both scenarios, we want to migrate a virtual machine from one environment to another one. And in the first instance, I migrate just the VM, not the VTPM. So I recreate a second VTPM in the target environment, and so there's just a key exchange. And the question is, how can we ensure VM integrity is not degraded during the transfer, and that I don't mistakenly associate it with VTPM. So how is it trusted? Second scenario, I transfer the whole thing, the VM and the VTPM. This is comes down to the same thing. How can we be sure that the VTPM has not been degraded, altered by an interloper, and is not recombined with the physical TPM of the target environment, which would then think it was trusted when it should not be? We'll then present solutions which address a number of these challenges. Software solutions. In this state-of-the-art review, we're going to look at four products. The first is Hyper-V from Microsoft. Microsoft is a major player in VPWG, so that's the working group on virtualization of TPMs. And we'll look at how Hyper-V deals with these challenges. If you look at the architecture we see here, there are three key components: virtual machines, the one that you'll have access to, the hypervisor, which will give you access to the virtual machine, and what we call the Rose Garden service. I call it the Host Guardian service, HGS. So if I'm a user and access to the virtual machine, there is a prerequisite, is that the virtual machine has to be declared in the hypervisor. If the virtual machine is not declared, then you cannot access it. Once this prerequisite has been fulfilled, I go to my hypervisor, which has to authenticate with the HGS. In other words, say that this hypervisor is trusted and secure, and so it will answer the challenge, which is to ensure the hypervisor is not compromised. The hypervisor has to contact the HGS to prove that it is trusted, secure. Typically, has there been a measured boot, or are there other aspects which could lead to the belief that it's been compromised? Once this has been achieved, the HGS will say, okay, I trust you. The hypervisor will then ask for the decryption keys for the virtual machine. So I'll then be able to access the virtual machine and its secrets. And with the encryption key being in the HGS rather than the VM, if the hypervisor is compromised, that addresses that problem. This architecture model, with the offset security model, which is an HGS, the problem is if the HGS is compromised, well, you're back to square one. But the model is more robust. But having to declare virtual machines to the hypervisor and renewing the declaration in the event of migration and backup does add an additional layer of complexity. So the complexity flexibility ratio with regard to has to be a trade-off in terms of security levels. Then there's VMware's vSphere. On the left, you can see basically how this solution works with a client, a web client for the functionality, a server, and the various areas with virtual machines. So on the right, we have a more detailed diagram of how this works. The characteristic of this solution is that the VTPM is stored in the hypervisor, and then the various secrets will be stored by the VTPM, as Alexei was explaining. With this architecture, if the hypervisor is compromised, the VTPM is on it, so we do, however, have better flexibility because we don't have this constraint of redeclaring virtual machines and their hypervisors. So, again, there's a trade-off to be sought here. The third solution Benoit mentioned earlier is Xen, which is an open-source solution. This solution, you've heard all about it in the previous presentation. It's not actually that simple, but there's a very trusted, high level of trust, where because there's a PTPM physical component through to the virtual machine. And as we have seen previously, we have VTPM per one VTPM per virtual machine, the VTPM manager, which is the VMM, which manages interfaces between the physical component and the virtualized VTPM. And this acts as an arbitrator governing various types of physical access. This architecture gives flexibility in the event of migration and backup, and also keeps a strong link of trust. Our last fourth solution is Google Cloud Platform Shielded VMs. This solution provides us with virtual machine libraries and also VTPM libraries. So again, one virtual machine per VTPM. And the engine acts as a VMM, managing all of these VTPM instantiations with virtual machines. And this is linked to physical components. These were previously called PTPM. Here they're called kit-on-chip, which establish a trusted relationship. And finally, you have the Google Stack Driver, which carries out monitoring with feedback of the various events, allowing monitoring to take place. With this Google infrastructure architecture, firstly, we can see that this does not provide security status of Google infrastructure, in that if the Titan chip is compromised, there will be no feedback to the Google Stack Driver. The other aspect is that the trust that we can give this solution is similar to that you can have in the solutions provider. So, well, up to you whether you like that idea or not. And lastly, since this is a proprietary solution compared to the open source solution that we saw with Xen, the architecture and technical details are not always available, so you have to basically trust the infrastructure. We've seen these four solutions then, and so we're also talking about board games here, because these four solutions are like four players, and it's just like when you play a board game at home, there's always one has their own interpretation of the rules. So to avoid that situation, we need rules that are understood the same way by everybody. These rules are standards. Here we have two standardization bodies, the ISO, International Standards Organization, that we all use, in particular because of ISO 27000. There we have 27070, which deals with security requirements for virtualized routes of trust. And then we also have the Trusted Computing Group, in which the VPWG group is there with Thales a part of this. And in this working group, we look at protection profiles, architecture, design, etc. These standards are developed by experts from companies of all sizes, governments, etc., getting together to define the architecture in question. So the first thing is to explore TPM technology with the advent of virtualization of TPMs, especially 2.0. We also need to define new use cases and use these solutions at national level, defining a set of specifications and protection profiles so testing organizations can evaluate these virtual TPMs and also be part of the community in order to have a common understanding of the rules and environment. If you have questions, fire away, or you can talk to us later. So thank you, Alexei and Paul. So let's start with some questions right away. Well, I had a question. I don't quite like this idea of guarded host guarded TPM. How is this trusted? If you need an encryption key, where is this stored? Because you no longer have a TPM to store it in. Well, what we do in this solution is to implement a software TPM, which will be virtualized, stored. It's true that is less robust than a hardware solution. The encryption key is stored in the virtual process provided by the virtualization provider. That is also one of the subjects of the working group. How do we define the link between the virtual and physical TPMs? And depending, for the moment, not everybody understands this the same way and defines this the same way, so there can be differences in this respect between solutions providers. Good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to know whether you have, in your research, looked at on Let's See, for example. Not really. Other questions? Talking about standardization and profiles, are you talking about common criteria or something else? Well, CESTI at the moment, the assessment agency in France, uses a protection profile defined by the working group. For virtualization of VTPM, there is not yet a protection profile, but there is a link with common criteria. Thank you for your presentation. You can see that this issue is due to the ability of the physical TPM component. Would it not be simpler to extend TPM capacity with more memory? Because the capacity price ratio is pretty good. Would it not be better to extend the TPM to have greater capacity? TCG did do a white paper on this, different classes of potential solutions, and this is one that was looked into, but at the moment this has not been adopted because of it's not a very market-friendly strategy, but it could perhaps come up again in the future. Alexey mentioned at the start that there's this issue of cost and complexity of the components because there are TPM registers which link a virtual TPM, and the more VMs we have, the more virtual TPMs we have, we will quickly hit a hardware limit with components that will be really very, very expensive. Last question. There are now processor enclaves, for example, with LGX X processors. Have you looked at putting a VTPM in a secure enclave? We haven't. We just looked at the existing solutions, so we have not investigated that type of particularity, no. That is a technical solution which virtual solution vendors could suggest, and perhaps that would be a more robust alternative that they could offer, but we haven't really looked at that in terms of the specification of VTPMs in and of themselves. It's up to vendors to decide whether or not they integrate it in their solution. So I think we're going to wrap up there. So you'll be welcome to join the speakers for some drinks and carry on talking. Thank you, Paul and Alexey. This concludes our day. We will complete this chapter tomorrow morning with a session shared with the SIM workshop for the entire morning, and this will also, the whole morning will be in English. So enjoy your evening. See you tomorrow. And if you are registered for the gala dinner, it will take place here from 8 p.m. onwards.